Today on Real Radio.
How humble is this man? Humble? I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. I am so not the Christ. He's coming. When he comes, I'm telling you, I'm not even worthy enough to untie his shoes. That would be an honor. And every Jew in the audience would have gone, wow, that's something. What are we learning from this?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at part of chapter 3, where John the Baptist paves the way, so to speak, for his cousin, Jesus of Nazareth, who is called Messiah. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Expectation of Every Man's Heart.
John is saying to the crowd that's now standing soaking wet, you've heard God's word that you need saving. You now qualify for the most joyous, wonderful life that you could ever live. You've made it, so to speak, by standing there in agreement with God. Their hearts, recognizing that, is lifted with expectation. And this word in the Greek, expectation, is a powerful word. It means that they've been brought to the place of confident assurance that something was about to happen. That's why they look to John to be the answer. Maybe he's the answer. Why? They've been brought to that point, to that moment. Something great is about to take place. It's something that they longed for. It's something that they wanted with anticipation. Do you guys remember years ago Heinz ketchup? Remember the ketchup bottle? And Carly Simon, I think it was, would sing Anticipation, or whoever sings that song, I don't know. But she's singing the song Anticipation, and you're waiting for that silly drip of ketchup to come out. You know, that's like silly. I mean, who's going to sit there and hear a song in their head while you're waiting for the ketchup to fall out? I just grabbed it and would just squeeze it as hard as I could, and it goes everywhere, you know. I'm not going to wait. This whole word is much more powerful than that. They've been convinced. Something's coming. They knew it. If you were to ask them, what's coming? Well, the Messiah's coming. We just know who it is. Is it John or somebody else? They didn't know. This is where they're at. Have you been convicted? You. This week, maybe Christian radio, maybe a friend told you something. Maybe you were speaking. Maybe you went to church last week somewhere or here, and something's been going on in your heart. Maybe there's a voice in your head. You heard something in your mind. You ought not to be doing this, or something's going on. And you're thinking, and you're wondering, you need something to happen. This is where they're at. And they need to experience a lasting peace, but they've got this urgency upon their soul. John says in John's Gospel 14, Jesus is speaking in John 14, 25, Jesus said, "These things I spoke unto you while yet being present with you. But the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, he will teach you all things." John 14, 25 to 27, "and bring everything to remember whatsoever I have spoken unto you." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, not the peace that the world gives, give I unto you." In other words, I'm giving you a peace if you'll take it. That peace comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, who will remind you everything I talked about, and the peace that I give will not be flying or fleeting away like the world's peace gives. The world gives a peace that's false. God gives a peace that's sure. Jesus says, "I give you my peace." So regarding the supremacy of Christ, listen, my friend, Jesus alone can give you the peace that passes all understanding in this life if you'll just go to him. That's John's message. Look to Christ. Look to Jesus. He will give you peace. And every one of us in this room longs for peace. The thing is, some of us have been satisfied, and some of you are still searching. You need not search anymore. You can have the peace of God. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is the one that brings peace. The Bible tells us also here that as there's this need for peace that Jesus promises, it presupposes, it assumes that there's a void. The reason why in our brain and in our hearts why we don't have peace is because there's a void. We seek to get peace by filling the void in our lives. It could be, you know, we seek money, we seek fame, we seek power. Those things will not give you peace. But when Christ comes in by the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, this peace comes. And, you know, it says here that they reasoned in their hearts. That word reasoned is a great, great word. It means to muse, to think. The word muse means to think and to think again. Isn't that a great word? Think and think again. It's a discipline. Now, I got news for you that you need to muse on this. That what the Bible says, you need to chew on it for a while and eat it up. You know, we're now a few weeks past an election. And now the analysts have concluded, and you know, it was a pretty much a nationwide election in all their various locations, but California has fallen under a little bit more scrutiny regarding this recent election. Because they've concluded, these are these analysis people about voting, they concluded that the Californians didn't know what they were voting for or against. They didn't understand. Did you know that? We are now, according to the news outlets, we are now just as stupid as people in Florida when it comes to voting. That's our reputation now in the last week on the news. And I told you, I just got back from Washington, D.C., and I was one of those Californians. Because you see, all Californians voted against California balancing their checkbook. We said, no, we don't want a balanced checkbook. We want to run our state in total debt and bankruptcy. And we voted for that. No, I want to go bankrupt. Did you know that? I don't know if you guys all voted. You're all smart. Not anybody here would have voted like that. But you know, to balance the checkbook failed. California sent a message. We do not want to save money and to get out of debt. So all of the 49 states are laughing at us right now. Did you know that? Pretty embarrassing. And why? Because there was this misunderstanding. This lack of engagement. To muse is to take an issue, to think it through again, and rethink it yet still. That's what these people were doing. They were taking John's message, and they were taking with what they felt like, conviction, and they began to think deep thoughts. And we need to think deep thoughts. Listen, teachers, and I know there's school teachers in here right now, have your kids think deep thoughts. Challenge them to think. Are you ready for this? I'll probably get arrested for saying this. Teach your children in school to question everything. Why? Look, when your kid's 2 years old, they already know how to ask the question, why? When a teacher says something, that student ought to come back and say, why, teacher, is that so? Can you imagine if kids began to do that? Well, this is the way that it is. Why is that so? I don't know. Just that's the answer. I'm going to ask you on Friday. No. Think. God wants us to think. My friend, if you're visiting today and you're not a Christian, don't let anybody ever tell you that, you know, people say, well, the Christians need to check their brains in at the door before they go to church because they're not thinkers. Oh, no, it's supposed to be the opposite. Christians ought to be the greatest thinkers in our community, in our state, in our nation, in the world. Be thinking. Why? We are to be thinking again and again and again as to what this means. Don't believe anything I say, but believe everything I say if it's founded upon the Bible, because I'm not the one saying it. I am just regurgitating truth. You see? John is giving it. They're responding. John is basically a conduit. He's a bystander. Lasting peace. Another thing that we see here about the supremacy of Christ is that Jesus Christ alone brings real humility. Look at verse 16. John answered and said to them all, I indeed baptize you with water. This is beautiful. This is so precious. He says, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to loose. There's a few things that we need to understand here. When he says, I indeed baptize you with water, we don't get this in the English. Let me put it to you as it appears in this Greek New Testament scripture, which the Bible was written in. John is saying this, I am so not him. I only baptize you in water as a symbolic gesture. I simply invited you into the water that if you agreed with my message, that by going into the water, you are being immersed in the truth of what this water around your body speaks of. It's just a type. It's a symbol. The water around you is a type or a symbol announcing that you agree with this message, that you need the Messiah. I am not him, John is saying. And so much so, John says this, church, are you ready for this? Never breeze past quickly the Bible. When John the Baptist says, I am not even worthy to untie his sandal straps, you need to ask that critical thinking question. What's the question again, remember? Why? Why, when you study the Bible, you ask why. Why did John use that statement? And this is wonderful. You think like that, you're going to find nuggets in the Bible. Here's the reason why. You do a little history search and you find out something. That the rabbis during the time of Christ, they would have their students in the synagogue, and the rabbis teaching the disciples, the followers of the rabbi, and the rabbi would say to them, you are to obey me, the rabbi, and everything I tell you to do. I am your master. I am your rabbi. I am your teacher. Whatever I tell you to do, whatever I do, you do. That's how they're taught. Except one thing you do not do ever, he would say to them. There's one thing you do not do. You know what it is? You never stoop down and untie a man's sandals. Never. Why did they say that? Why did they think that? Because as a Jewish student of the scriptures, you are to humble yourself to a point. No man is so low as to untie another man's sandal. That's where we draw the line. What did John say? Look, you guys, if this is ground zero elevation of humility, and this is where the sandal is, are you with me? And the rabbi says, don't you ever stoop so low. I mean, you obey me in everything, but I will never ask of you to untie my sandals because no man, no Jewish student is a slave. John says, oh yeah? I've got to climb up here just to get here to untie his shoe. That's how low I am on the totem pole. And I'm so low that I'm not even worthy to untie his shoe. Is what John's saying. Isn't that neat? Yeah. How humble is this man? Humble. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. I am so not the Christ. He's coming. When he comes, I'm telling you, I'm not even worthy enough to untie his shoes. That would be an honor. And every Jew in the audience would have gone, wow. That's something. What are we learning from this? John the Baptist knew God. And every Christian that truly knows the face of God will be humble. How can a Christian, especially a Christian minister, look, I are one, and this is terrifying to me. How can a Christian pastor, evangelist, minister strut around? How can they strut around? I'm this. I am the Right Reverend Pastor Jack. The Right Reverend Pastor. You ever get things in the mail from the Right Reverend Most Holy something? Please send money. Hey, if they were so right, reverend, and holy, you know, what do they need money for? But you ever see that stuff? Or, you know, don't talk to him. He's a minister of the Lord. What? Don't talk to him? He's a minister of the Lord? I don't get that. The true ministers of God, if they've looked into the face of God, they can't be arrogant. They can't be proud. That has been slain and slain and slain again every day that they wake up. They might wake up full of themselves, but quickly they'll find out that God's on the throne, not themselves. Amen. It's God. How can somebody who's a minister of God be arrogant? And you see people strutting around and showing their stuff and their ministers. I can't talk to you. I have to have my parking spot. I have to be shielded from you. I have to have bodyguards. I have to... What is that? I was going to say I have to have a Pope mobile, but trust God. You know? What is this? Humility. John is humble. Jesus Christ alone gives true humility. John is saying, I'm not him. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. Jot the verse down next to your Bible margins here. I won't read the entire passage, but it's worthy. John 13, verses 1 to 17, you know the event. Jesus now is near. That's John 13, 1 to 17. Jesus Christ is now near to his betrayal, to his arrest and crucifixion. What does he do in that upper room? He winds up getting a towel and a bowl of water, and he goes over to the disciples' feet. And what does he do? Look, to wash their feet, you got to take off sandals, people. You don't wash feet with shoes on. Jesus goes over and he takes a towel and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now stop right there. I guarantee you something. Ain't none of you going to wash my feet. Why? Because they stink. Pastor, that's just too much information. Let me be more specific. Your feet and my feet stink. That's why they're covered up all the time. And they work hard for us, there's no doubt. These little things, they take a beating, you know. But they have a tendency to smell. And it's pretty humiliating if someone, can you imagine if today I got this crazy idea that we're going to dim the lights in a minute? And we're going to bring the ushers are going to come in with bowls of water and towels. And you're going to begin to wash the feet of total strangers here in this building. You're already feeling uncomfortable and you're praying to the Lord now that I'm kidding. Imagine if I wasn't kidding for a moment. What would you do? A total stranger. Now watch, before this happened, I would say, how many of you are Christians? And oh yes, in fact, I'll put both hands up, Pastor. And then I say, okay, those of you with your hands up, I want you to wash the feet of those near you. You know what I know what would happen? You'd put feet down. Number one, you put hands down. You'd put your hands down because number one, you're too proud to wash someone's foot. But the person next to you is praying that you don't wash their feet because we don't want our stinky feet to be smelt, sniffed, touched, looked at because we're proud. I don't want to wash your stinky feet. I don't want my stinky feet to be washed. In that day, it was feet. That's how you bless them. Jesus comes along. He's washing their feet. And there's apparently no complaint from anybody else until he gets to our faithful friend, who? Peter. You got to love that guy. He's just like us. Jesus is washing their feet. And Jesus gets over to Peter. And Peter's shoes are on. He probably has high tops on, laced up to the top. And Peter recoils his feet and says, you will not wash my feet, Lord. And Jesus said, and apparently with no panic in Jesus' voice, well, if I don't wash your feet, then you'll have no business with me at all forever. Lord, wash my head, my hands, from the top of my head down to the bottom of my feet. Jesus says, Peter, you're already clean. I just need to wash your feet. Isn't that funny? Peter's just like a pendulum, one way or the other. So dramatic. And so Peter says, you know, wash all of me, and that's okay. Just your feet needs to be washed. And Jesus washed his feet. And then Jesus sat down and then again girded himself and said to them, do you know what I've done? Do you guys know? Do you understand what I've just done? They didn't understand. And he said, isn't a servant greater than his master? They all went, yeah. And I'm master of you, right? Yeah. But why is it and how is it that I girded myself in a cloth and got this towel and I washed your feet? They're all quiet. He says, just know this. The one that's greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. And I want you to turn from this moment on, I want you to turn and wash one another's feet. You guys, today we don't wash feet. But we have our thing. It may not be feet, but it may be something. What's personal in your life? To let another brother or sister in is an absolute impossibility to you. For example, it's just us here, so nobody needs to know this, but you don't need to see my garage. If you saw my garage, I'd be embarrassed. What is it for you? You say, Pastor, oh, wow, you know, your garage. Oh, yeah, well, what is it with you? Is it your closet? Is it behind your ears? Huh? What is it for you? Is it your car? What is it? What is it? All of us have it. It's the place where we can't let anybody in because, you know what, it's just too personal. Jesus says that if you love one another, you'll take care of these things that are most uncomfortable, most humbling toward one another. That's humility. I find in studying this message, for me, I have too much pride left in my life. Because you know what? I will mow my lawn if I'm sicker than a dog. I'll still mow it because I don't like the lines to be crooked. I want the lawnmower lines to be perfectly straight on the grass. You say, Jack, you're nuts. I want the lines perfectly straight. I may be nuts, but that's my thing. I'll be out there with the flu and a fever. Lisa, is the line straight? It's got to be straight. But there's something in your life that way. No one's ever come to my house and said, you know what? I really like being here because those lines are really straight. But we're all like this. Letting someone in personally. Let Jesus in personally in your life. Let him in. You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that we are to seek the face of God. And you know the verse, he'll heal our land if we repent of our sin. The word seek God's face means in Hebrew to be face to face with God, to allow God to be face to face with us. When you look face to face in the Lord's face, you melt. And pride can no longer be a part of your life. Oh, you may struggle with it, but you struggle with it. Amen and hallelujah to that. Another thing before we go on to the next point is this, that Jesus Christ alone brings true belonging. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Simply this regarding fire speaks about judgment and the second coming of Christ. The context dictates it to be so. I want you to focus on the fact that John says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I baptize you symbolically regarding water. Jesus is coming who will baptize you in factual ways with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. The Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, resides inside every true Christian. You need to pay close attention to what I'm about to say, because what I'm about to say drew tears in the last service. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit dwells inside of every true believer. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is alongside every human being in this world, convicting them of sin.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Expectation of Every Man's Heart, a study taken from Luke chapter 3 and verses 15 through 18. It's part of our series through this New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are at the end of the year, and there's still time for you to make that tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio. And just to give you an idea of how this outreach is affecting the lives of others, Pastor Jack is here to give us an example. Pastor Jack?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I want to share this, and this is what makes Real Radio exciting for us. Geneva writes us, Pastor Hibbs, I've been listening to your messages in the morning on my way to work, and I just wanted you to know how much your ministry has blessed me. I'm an active member of my church, and I seek God with all of my heart. I felt the need to have more of God in my life, and it happened to stumble across your message one morning, and I've been listening to you ever since. I believe that your message helped me fill the gap that was missing. I want to say thank you for allowing the Lord to use you, and I continue to pray for you, Geneva. And Mike, those are some of the things that just cause us here at Real Radio to get absolutely excited about what the Lord is doing.
Wow. Well, visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. Realradioactive.org. Our number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll free, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.